everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love to connect with you. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus outbreak, we aren't meeting in person right now, but there are still a lot of ways to connect with our community. On Sunday mornings, you can worship with us online through our YouTube channel at 10 a.m. or join us for a special family ministry live stream worship over on our Facebook page at 10:30. We are at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Our pastors are here to support you and connect you with our community so that you will remember, even during this time of social distancing, that you are not alone. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
One of the greatest joys in my life is being a father. I am blessed to be a father of two wonderful children, Will and Hannah. As of now, Will is 7 years old and Hannah is five, and we are in the throes of some of the best years of the childhood we're going to have. We hear that often and we know it's true. While some days are long, the years are short, and even when I think about them being seven and five, I just can't believe it. Now, one of the best things about being a parent is when somebody else tells you how good your kids are. And specifically, if you've raised kids or you've heard this comment, you'll recognize what it means. When your kids have been somewhere else or been with somebody else, and you get a report from the other family, the other parents, that they were so well behaved, that they ate all the food that was given to them, that they said please and thank you, that they were polite, and at the ages of 5 and 7, that they didn't shove anybody or they didn't eat anything they weren't supposed to eat. These are all good reports. And of course, what do many parents say, and especially dads, when they want to crack a dad joke? Oh, that doesn't sound like my kids, or wow, I wish they were that well behaved when they were around me. But of course, it's a great compliment to hear when your kids are well-behaved when you're not there, because you know that you have done something right and you are grateful that they didn't destroy the other person's house or break something or whatever it might be. Now, as much as you want to take credit for that, you also know it's a collective process by which you're not the only influence in your kid's life, and so credit needs to go where credit is due, whether you're the mom or the dad or the parents or grandparents. It's a community effort. But there is something special about hearing when your kids have been good in your absence. And I think whether it's a parent or whether it's someone of influence or whether it's Paul speaking to his friends in Philippi through the letter that we've been looking at, there's something important that happens when we hear that people have been good in our absence, when we're responsible for who they are or what they're all about. And that's one of the things that happens in this letter we've been looking at, Paul's letter to the Philippians, the people of Philippi, is that Paul encourages them in his absence to be good and do good, to continue the work that has been going on in their lives. And he says to them how important it is and how much he hopes to hear about the good that they're doing, even when he is absent from them anymore. And this is one of the places that we can go to in the letter that Paul has written to understand the importance of what is going on in his encouragements. And I think also it's one of the places that we can look to in our very day and age and understand how important it is to look to this particular spot in Philippians for guidance as we go through the complex time that we live in. He says, in light of this, he says, here's what I need you to know. And Paul speaks to his friends and he says, I need you to know that because of who Jesus is, that's who you're supposed to be. And he says specifically to them in verses 12 and 13, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but now in my absence, I want you to work out your own salvation through fear and trembling. And here's the key part. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to will and to work for his good pleasure, for God's good pleasure. And it's interesting to me that that's what Paul narrows in on when he speaks about how he hopes they will act in his absence. that they want to be working out their faith, but rather not just working out what they believe, but letting their beliefs impact their actions so that they can do good in the world, reminding them that it is God who is at work in them, and it's God who enables them to do what is good, and it is God that enables them to follow through on God's will in their actions. Now, as we think about what it means to be writing our own letters at this time, making sure that we leave a footprint, leave a written testimony that we are proud of in the future that we can look back on, I think it's important to echo those words that Paul has given to us and his friends in Philippi to understand about where any of the goodness that we might be able to contribute in this moment comes from. Where anything that is of plus or added to people's lives isn't rooted in just our human goodness, but rather, as followers of Jesus, it's rooted in what God has done for us. And in fact, actually, that's the only place we believe as followers of Jesus where goodness can come from, is in Jesus and is in what God has done through Jesus. And so what Paul is striving after is writing about there is trying to remind us that the goodness in our lives comes from God's grace. And because there is goodness in our lives that comes from God's grace, we are able to take what is good about God and what is good about us because of what God has done in us and transition that and allow that to be the inspiration for the good work that we do in this world. And so when we think about the legacy that we're leaving, as we think about the ways in which God has called us to live at this time, we want to be reminding ourselves that the goodness we have comes because of God's grace. And the goodness we can do in the world is because of God's grace being present in our lives. So when we do something that is good and when we do something that is helpful, one of the things we need to be able to remind ourselves and remind others, it's not because of who I am that I'm able to bring about God's peace in the world. It's because of what God has done in my life. It's about what God has done to help me become the person that God wants me to be so that I can help the world become the place that God wants it to be. So one of the things that I hope we might be able to find in the legacy and in the letters that we're writing of ourselves is a story of change. It's a story of how we have continually become more and more the people that God wants us to be. That by the end of this journey that we're on right now, whether it be the COVID journey or the racial reconciliation journey or the combination of the two, that we are not the same people that we were at the beginning of all this. That in fact we have allowed the circumstances, and indeed in our case, to use the circumstances to help us become the people God wants us to be and help the world become the place God wants it to be. Because when we do that, we follow through on what God wants for us. Is God wants us to change. God wants us to grow. God doesn't want us to be the same people we were in the past. God wants us to continually become the people that God wants us to be. And when we can acknowledge that that's what God's grace is doing in our lives, then that helps us understand the trajectory that we want to be on. When we talk about becoming the people God wants us to be, it's very simple, again, to say it's to love others as God has loved us. As Jesus put it, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. It's not simply do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It is love others as I have loved you. Jesus says, love others as I have loved you. So what does that look like? It looks like a lot of things. What does that sound like? It can sound like a lot of things. Now, one of the things I think we often hope is that if we were to open the pages of Scripture, we will find a manual or a to-do list of explicit actions that we're supposed to take or not supposed to take. And generally speaking, while there may be some correlation that we can draw to specifics in the Scriptures to inform our actions, more often or not, we find general guidelines on how we might ought to live or think or allow our beliefs to impact our actions. And when we think about how do we live out more loving lives, that's basically what we find in the Scriptures as well. General guidelines on how we are to think and how we are to believe so that our actions might be more loving. But there's a reality that we can look at the people around us and we can look at the world around us and see if we're doing it right. And so sometimes what happens is the evidence of whether we are more loving is if the people in our lives are feeling more love. if they're exhibiting more love. Because if we are channeling the love of Christ that God has given to us into them, they will become more loving. Maybe it's not just loving actions. Maybe it's a sense of peacefulness. If we're channeling the peace of Christ into our actions, then the people in our lives will become more peaceful. So one thing you might be able to do is look at your last few interactions with the most important people to you. If they have not become more loving because of your input in their lives, maybe you need to change so that you can be more loving. Or maybe look at the last few interactions and see if they've become more peaceful. Maybe your presence in their lives have caused more agitation. If that's the case, then you might need to ask yourself, how can I be more peaceful so that they might be more peaceful? Or perhaps right now you have found yourselves in a series of conversations that might have gotten a little heated, and you will say to yourself, well, maybe their ratcheting up of their anger is a product of me ratcheting up anger in my life. I don't know if one of those things resonates with you, but one of the things we can do is we can look to the ways in which other people are living, the way they're responding, based on whether we're giving them more love, more peace, or more understanding. Now, the temptation in these hard circumstances is to assume that the other person's doing the thing that isn't helpful, to assume that they're the ones who need to work on themselves. And while that might be true, you can't control what they do, but you can control and you can influence yourself. So if we can take a long look at our own lives, and I do this myself, if we can take a long look at our own lives, you can look at yourself and look in the mirror and say, what can I do to be more peaceful? And then in turn, you will help them experience more peace. But it isn't just a piece of advice for individuals. It's also a word to a community as well. In Paul's writing to his friends in Philippi, oftentimes we read those letters and we find thinking it applies to ourselves, but we forget that Paul was writing to a whole group of people. And so the same thing is true about our actions as a group of people, as a community. Are we acting as a community in a way that produces more love in the world around us? Are we acting in a way that produces more peace around us? And if we see more love, then we know we're on the right track. If we see more peace, then we know we're on the right track. But if we see less peace and less love, then we need to ask ourselves, do we need to reorient our actions? Do we need to reorient our way of being so that we can help the world become the place God wants it to be? Because God wants more love and God wants more peace. And God gave us all the love and all the peace we need in Jesus so that we can be the people and so that we can be the community that God wants us to be. So the question is, are we channeling that love? Are we channeling that peace? Are we writing a letter that we can look back on in the future so that we would be proud of the people we've been in this moment, proud of the people that we are in Christ? I hope the answer is yes. I hope the answer is we're writing a letter that we're proud of. But the reality is, we may not be. We may not be happy all the time with the letter we're writing. So for some of us, we're going to ask ourselves, can we write a better letter? And we will. And for some of us at a time like this, we are going to look back and we're not going to be happy with the letter we've written. And the beautiful thing about God's love is that God gives us a second chance to write a new letter. That's the other side of the grace that God gives to us, is God's grace shows us forgiveness and God's grace gives us a second chance. And that's one of the things that I want to close in our time here and highlight, is to just remind us that even if we haven't gotten our letter right to this point, and even if we want to just kind of rip that letter up and start all over, God gives us that chance. And the beautiful thing is, the longer we write that new letter that we're proud of, the more the old life, the old letter we had, will fade into the background. And the longer and the better the new letter becomes, the new life we have, the more we will have taken advantage of the grace that God has given to us so we can help the world become the place God wants it to be, so that we can become the people God wants us to be. So like Paul said, let us remember that God has given to us grace so that we might find our way into working out a life that is pleasing to God. God loves us no matter what, but it's because God loves us no matter what that God wants us to live out a life filled with love and peace. And that's important in every day, but it's especially important in this day. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.